This is a homebrew podcast.
I grunt. What? Why are you laughing in the bathroom? Oh my god, it stinks in here.
I was just reading some new data. All the people were talking about you this week, Zaldwin.
Oh, were they saying how handsome I was, or how I'm really good at shooting, or how I'm kind?
Yeah, it says right here on the bathroom rat that you look like Zorak.
I could see it.
What? Okay, one, what's a bathroom rat? Two, what's a Zorak? Three, who's writing about me?
It's our new crew member, Huslas Hope.
Listen, Huslas Hope, I don't know who you are, but you best not be saying I look like a Zorak, whatever that is.
Huslas Hope.
Huslas Hope? Is Zorak copywritten?
I don't know. Well, welcome to the crew, Huslas Hope.
Welcome. Oh, man. Welcome back to the homebrew. Or is it? I'm Grant. Or am I not? And I might be here with Austin Brady.
Zaldwin, the biggest dumbass this side of the fucking galaxy, just saying my digital safe word like all willy-nilly.
Cody Smith.
Grondahl, who was very upset that he said the safe word. I knew I shouldn't have ever said the safe word. I'm never gonna say it again.
Say what again? John Cayley.
Mr. Goy. Yeah, that's my bad, guys.
And Tyrell Nye.
Heavy arms, Oliver. I don't think this is fun anymore.
Last time on the homebrew, the crew and their army of kobolds, ancient red dragon, necromantic pirate wereshark captain, and thick spellbooks absolutely dismantled Rosebud brick by brick and confronted Thorim, who revealed that paradise was his creation and the simulations were meant to solve his inability to enter the lost ruin the crew was seeking out. He discovered that he was unable to, in any simulation, recreate the ruin or anyone who he has ever seen enter it. He locked it away, believing that if he couldn't have it, no one could have it. They asked no questions whatsoever about this revelation, and Thorim whispered the final clue to his puzzle cube riddle to Oliver, and all three parts of Thorim flew into the scar. The crew spoke with a young, respawned Thorim, gave him Celendril's cube, and set back off to the real world. They were intercepted and tricked into saying their safe words, and we left the last episode right after that moment occurred. So, Zaldwin, I'm going to start with you. And you are back on the Oasis right now. You are walking the halls. There is pleasant music playing. You are passing by, you know, friends, extended family, you know, people that you are familiar with. Maybe you've delivered a pizza or played games with them. On your way to join your small crew of scrappers, you have just recently discovered some sort of ruin, which is not extremely common, that Calypso is willing to stop the Oasis and that you're allowed to, you know, go out and so on and so forth. So this is really exciting for you, a chance to kind of leave the ship, break up the monotony, do something, get to scrapping, so on and so forth. So you enter into this airlock area and you're getting suited up, just kind of shooting the shit with your fellow scrappers, so on and so forth. And you're approached by someone who you kind of recognize. You feel like you've met them before, but you're not quite sure where you know them from. And they look a little different. It doesn't seem that out of place to you, though. And this is Tyler. And he just kind of beelines straight to you and looks around, sees everyone putting on their spacesuits. And he seems a little nervous. And he's like, hey... Hey, Zaldwin, right?
Yeah, it's, Tyler?
Yeah, it's Tyler.
I think, my mom and your mom play dominoes or something like that. What's up, pal? What's up, man?
Yeah, I thought maybe I could go with you on this little mission. Is that okay?
Were you cleared by Calypso? Did she select you as envoy?
Yeah. I'm good to go. All
right.
What do you guys do? You just go out there and...
You must have missed the briefing, pal. Yeah, we're she said that there was some sort of ruin out there, and we're just taking the pods out. Theramir, she said that, you know, it's gonna be a dense metal, but so we have to use some of the stronger blasters to start peeling some scrap off, but we gotta repair the hull after that meteor storm hit last week. Fucking tore Calypso up. So we just gotta go get some metal. Should be in and out, but seems exciting, right? Like, you know, go out to ruins most often. Usually it's just like blasting a little meteor here and there, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is this... He leans in. You can definitely pick up some nervousness, and he's like, is all this pretty normal? Like, everything seem right?
I'm gonna kind of, like, look around, and I think I'm, like, pretty much strapping myself into one of these, like, scrapping pods, which is, like, a big orb with these two arms that reach out in front of it, and I, like... you know, step outside of it, and I'm looking around. Is there anything kind of weird or off? Should I make insight, investigation?
Give me a perception check.
That is a 19.
I would say this feels remarkably normal to you. Like, mm-hmm. Absolutely everything, you know, you feel this, you're happy, you're excited. I mean, I guess I shouldn't tell you how you feel, but... I imagine that you would be kind of pumped about this.
Yeah.
The only, with a 19, I would say the only thing that seems weird is Tyler.
Are you sure you're cleared for this bay, bud? I mean, I don't remember you in any of the trainings. I imagine I would have seen you around.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can, you know, get some private time. And he kind of looks up nervously into like some of the security cameras that are in this area, and he's just like, maybe we can, you know, get some private time while we're out there. Maybe we could talk a little bit. Would that be okay?
Zeldwin's gonna blush and be like, well, I mean, you seem like a nice person, but we just met, and you know, I've been talking to somebody.
Sorry. I mean, like, maybe you can help me out with something.
All right. I mean, you have gone through the training, right?
Yeah.
I just don't want you to get hurt out there. It's a big concern.
No, yeah. I've done this a few times now.
All right, I suppose. Suit up, get in the pod, grab one of these cutters. You're gonna need some grease. Here you go, there's that.
And Zaldun's just, you know, grabbing shit equipment off the shelf. You know, some little, like, scanners, some extra, like, rope, some clips.
And you set off into this dark, ruined vessel that Calypso has docked the Oasis at. Make your way into the actual vessel, and you are exploring the wreckage. You guys are kind of shooting the shit, having fun. The architecture is very weird. It's, like, some sort of very dense mix of like organic and metal, and the doors and the hallways kind of are like shifting while you walk through them. You eventually come to this central area of this ship, and there are these huge, big, long tubes. And as you like shine a light to look at them, you see that there's like this, some sort of like green liquid going through the tubes at parts where there seems to be some sort of translucent covering over it. And your crew are all in there fiddling around and looking for, you know, valuable materials and things like that. And you hear these cracking sounds behind you, and you see one of these tubes bursts, and this green goo just starts spraying across this room. It completely covers you and all of your friends, and these oozes, these slimes start to just like climb out of these tubes. It's a fight. you know what I mean, for your life. And you are retreating. You're getting away from this dangerous, as Calypso would have wanted you to. You're leaving this situation, and you finally are able to seal this door off, and you're getting ready to, you know, fully retreat, and your friends start to just, like, cough, and terribly, they're wheezing. You see, like, through these spacesuits, they're starting to freak out. They're getting these big, giant, like, boils and masses on their skin, and they just sound terrible. And for some reason, it doesn't seem to affect you at all, Zaldwin. And when you get back to the Oasis, the door is locked.
I think that Zaldwin is going to try, like, any sort of, like, key card. You know, he's going to be running, like, back and forth. He's going to be, like, making sure everybody's laying down in this kind of bus shuttle that takes the small small vessels out. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, running back and forth. I'm trying my key card. And eventually I'm going to start banging on the door.
Hey, somebody, come on. We got sick. We need to get to the infirmary right now. Come on. It's shit or die time. Come on.
And after some time of this, an uncomfortable amount of time of this, a small bot, it floats to the door and it's like beeping in the negative, requiring you to kind of stand back before it will open the door. And assuming that you allow it, let's take that step back, it comes through the door shuts behind it again and locks, and it starts scanning you and scanning your friends.
Come on, Calypso, there's something out there. It was these large vials. People are sick, man. We gotta get inside. We gotta make sure that they get to the infirmary, to the scan bays. I mean,
Zeldwin looks behind him at one of his friends, Mirren, and there's like a chunk of like hand that falls off, and I think Zaldwin like just backs up and bangs into this large steel cabinet, and then like turns to the droid.
What do we do? What do we do? You gotta save him, Calypso. Come on. You gotta save these. You gotta let us in.
The readings on this bot change into a shape, a figure, which you know as Calypso, and it speaks through the bot and says, I'm sorry, Zaldwin. Unfortunately, you'll have to come through alone. Your friends have been infected with an unknown contagion.
Okay, can we create some sort of airlock between this and that, and then this just becomes a temporary infirmary bay? We can use some of the spacesuits as like quarantine suits to keep the contagion out. But also, like, I don't know, can I get cleaning equipment so I don't infest the rest? What?
The resources it would require to find a cure, if it's even possible, would be a further loss added to those already incurred.
You can take all the shit out of my apartment, like my den. You can take all my stuff, like use my resource. I don't care. Like, we gotta...
The risk is too high. I understand this is a difficult decision, Zaldwin. You must think of the entire family, though.
Don't fucking Zaldwin me.
We have to protect everyone.
And what do I do? Just launch myself out with them?
No, I do not believe that that's an acceptable loss. And I cannot complete this action by myself. You will have to take the final step. After you have ejected the pod back into space, I will have you come through the airlock yourself, and we will quarantine you for a short period of time.
Zaldwin sits down on this bench, and there's like some rolled up fabric that's like reused spacesuits and everything, like reused tarps, like solar mesh, and he just kind of grips the fabric.
How do you know I'm not infected? How do you know I'm not sick?
You're not showing any of the same symptoms, and I did run a scan, and you do not seem to have any additional contagions in your biology currently. You're also very important to the operations of the Oasis, Zaldwin.
What do you mean? I'm just like, there's no difference between me, Mirren, Thormir, and Sera, and all the people on this fucking ship. Why are you not important? Not any more than these people Why are you not saving them?
I do not know if they can be saved, and the attempt would have a high cost, potentially a catastrophic one.
I think Zaldwin reaches into his spacesuit and feels the fabric of his now signature Hawaiian shirt, and his finger touches over a necklace that kind of dangles around his neck, something that his parents like made him. They came together and made him a necklace for one of his birthdays, and he thinks about it. What do I have to do?
And there's like a moment, there's a pause. You see the bot seems to be kind of like a loading screen, like it's calibrating something. So we are clear. You are offering to use your own supplies and care for your friends yourself?
You do what's necessary for the greater good. You taught all of us that. I don't know why it's so surprising.
Well, I suppose if it is this important to you, your morale is also important to the operations of the ship. Very well. We will gather your supplies. I'll bring them to you. And you can attempt to care for them. So long as you do not leave this area, that should be fine. For as long as you deem fit. However, when you are done, I will require that you return to your normal job. Is that acceptable?
Thank you.
And the little bot beeps and flies away. And Tyler, who also seems to be unaffected by this, sits down beside you and just says, Zaldwin, is this right?
What do you mean, is it right? Of course it's right. You take care of the people that you care about. You take care of the people. What do you mean, is it right? I are fine. And she didn't talk to you. Why didn't she talk to you?
Listen, Zaldwin, I've been through this with you a few times now.
This isn't how it happened.
Yeah, it's not how it happened.
I
think this is it. I think this is what is different. And I've seen what comes next. I've seen that you care for these people, and I see that they just keep getting better and better. And every time you think it's time to reintegrate them, they take a turn for the worse, and you just stay in here over and over.
I'm good at biology. I'm good at science. Like, I could do this.
I think you could have done it. I know, Zaldwin. I think you could have done it. But I don't think this is what happened. I think this is it. I think you... This isn't easy. I don't know you all that well. If I told you this wasn't real, would you believe me?
As much as I wish every day that this wasn't real.
And he nods. He's emotional also, and he kind of gently picks up your helmet and hands it to you and said, I think you need to do what you had to do before. Then we can get out of here. Put this back in the past where it belongs. I know it's hard, but it's not real.
Almost like a sleepwalker, Zeldon stands up and slides the helmet on, and I think for a brief second in the reflection of the helmet, sees this kind of X over his face. A trick of the way that the lighting was, or the ducting work above him in this bus shuttle. He slides the helmet on, walks over to the airlock, opens it up, turns back, and I love you all so much. I'm so sorry I have to do this again. And the airlock closes, and the decontamination nozzle sprays Alduin's spacesuit, and the fog covers up the mask, and he reaches for the big red and yellow lever and pulls it, jettisoning the scavenger shuttles out into the dark.
Tyler looks down at some device that he has in his hand and nods. Said, all right, that was it. Okay. And he seemingly opens this door out of thin air, grabs your hand, and leads you through it.
What?
And you will find yourself back. These memories rush back to you. You remember saying your safe word and everything prior to it. And you're in a very familiar, cozy winter cabin. And Thorum is sitting on the couch, puffing at a pipe.
Well, 1 out of 4. That took you long enough, I suppose.
And Tyler's like, yeah, it's not easy. I did my best. And he's like, all right, well, let's get to it. I don't want to be here any longer than I have to. You all right? Is this what you look like? Bug thing?
Fucking asshole thing? Where the fuck am I?
Hey, fuck you. I just saved your goddamn life.
Fuck you. I don't even know if you're real.
I mean, I'm not real, decidedly. And you're not right now either, but I don't want... We gotta gather in here. I'll get you guys out with the simulation, and then, hey, we're even. We're even after that, okay?
If I look around, do I see the rest of my crew?
No.
Where is everybody? Where are they?
Well, they're all in their own weird little pocket, you know, weird stuff trapped in there. You'll have to go in and get them. I'm not going. I don't know them. You're lucky I was able to get a message out to your little friend here. Or, I mean, what would I do? I don't know what I would have done. Tell your little friend thank you.
I look over to Tyler.
He is crying. He is full tear, big crocodile tears. Like, that was not as hard on you as it was on him, but, like, that was... The empathy from him is just thick.
I kneel down and use my cloak to wipe some of his tears away.
What can I do to help? Anything. I can't be doing this again.
Who you want to go after first?
I have to go after Oliver.
All right. Oliver. All right, here we go. All right.
Okay. And he seems to be fiddling around with a device of his own, and Tyler's device beeps, and he says,
all right, right through there. Pretty much same thing. This is a creation of his own mind. You'll need to find out, you know, kind of, I don't know, talk him into it without talking him into it. He's not going to want to believe you, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, just don't get yourself killed either, because, you know, those rules still apply.
Zeldwin nods, and there's a very potent hum around his body as he's just anxious and tense and has no idea what he's doing, but is ready to do whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, and Tyler opens a door and you step through. I'm going to cut to Oliver. Oliver, you are training in a little back alley gym for the biggest fight of your career with Johnny Silverface later today. And this area where you're at, it's like part workshop, part laboratory. There are like cheap card tables covered with a mix of gadgets and stims. The whole place is like musty and messy, and I mean, you're beating the shit out of this like duct tape covered like training dummy, just doing what you know how to do, getting ready for this fight. And Lucky approaches you, and he has a rather large looking syringe in his hand, and he just watches you for a moment as you are training, and he says, hey, Oliver.
What is it, old man?
Yeah. Do you ever think about not doing any of this anymore? I mean, you're good. You're, like, really good. Thanks to me, of course, right? But, like, you've got something special. 62 straight wins? Do you think you can keep that up?
Oliver stops beating on the dummy and kind of like looks at him and frowns like,
what the hell else would I do? What do you mean, can I keep it up? I'm the best fighter in the universe.
Looks down at the syringe in his hand and looks back up at you and seems to be just doing some reflection, which you find to be odd for Lucky. It's like, man, I don't know, would it be crazy if we like did it for real though? Do you ever think about it? I mean, if you actually win this fight, that's the big leagues. We could get your face broadcasted all over the galaxy with me as your manager. I mean, I'm in real deep with some real pieces of shit. But if you could actually win this fight tonight, that could be crazy for us. What do you think? Should we try?
I mean, why not? I mean, fighting on the big stage, fighting underground, I'm gonna win either way.
We're gonna have to work on your brand ability there, your PR a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay, kid. Now, I guess I should loop you in. And he looks down at the syringe again in his hand, and he still seems to be kind of on the fence a little bit. And he's like, you know, if we you know, if maybe hypothetically you were supposed to lose tonight, and you don't, that could make some people kind of angry. You know what I mean? So watch out for that. I don't know. I guess this is kind of up to you. It's a big decision. I don't usually let you make your own decisions because you're kind of dumb. No offense, but like, you want to do this? Let's do it. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Are you giving me a choice, old man?
I mean, don't get a fucking boner about it. You're still going to be stuck with me, but you think you can make me a lot of money out of this place? Then yeah, I guess I am giving you a choice.
Oliver, like, he tries not to, like, almost a smile, like, starts to, like, creep onto his face, and then he just, like, you know, like, shakes his head and just, like, goes back to his grimace and just kind of goes, "Look, old man, you put him in front of me, I'll knock him down. I can promise you that much."
All right. You know what? God damn it. All right.
And he throws whatever he had in his hands into a pile of gadgets on his desk and just kind of sits back and watches you train for a little bit. That night, you and Lucky make your way to this arena, which is inside a club, you know, in the basement of some building. And I mean, there's a pretty sizable crowd. Like, there's, you know, there's usually a few hundred people at these matches. And there's like all sorts of, you know, drugs being used and loud music. You see over the pit is the face of Will Baxter, and he's like reading off stats and showing some highlights from your and Johnny Silverface's seasons. And as you're kind of walking through, going to kind of the back where the fighters would prepare, you see a couple of faces that they look a little familiar, but you can't quite place where you know them from. And Zaldwin, you and Tyler are in this crowd. You have kind of just stepped through this door and no one really paid too much attention to you. And yeah, it's Will Baxter. There is people drinking, talking. It's very loud in here. You see this pit at the center of the area, that very obviously a fighting pit. And then you see Oliver enter and start to make his way back into another area of the building.
All right. So how do we go about this, Tyler?
So he hands you this little device and he's like, it's not, none of this is real. It's kind of confusing, right? So apparently if he has to turn this light green and then he can leave, but the light is green once he knows he's in a simulation. But as long as he doesn't know, it's going to be red. And he shows it to you and it is indeed red. And he's like, "And it seems it took me a while with you. I guess I didn't really specify this, but I was in there with you for quite a while. And we did that a few times and I couldn't, you know, figure out exactly what needed to happen, but it seems like they changed something big. I'm assuming they just pulled it out of your heads or whatever, but they took something and they changed it. And I feel like it just made you fine with staying there until I came and pointed out the difference. Does that make sense? I don't really know what I'm saying.
So what's different here?
I don't know. I don't know. You're friends with Oliver. You've known him way longer than me.
Yeah.
Go talk to him.
Did he just enter the ring?
No, he's like walking towards the back part of the building, which looks like there's like some other doors and would probably like go back down into that area. But he's just walking through the crowd right now.
Okay. I'm going to jump up and fly over to Oliver.
Yeah. Some people cheer, but like most people, there are other flying races in the galaxy. So it's like,
yeah, I ain't special.
I mean, you're special to me.
Okay. Don't get a boner about it.
Hey. Okay, so Oliver, this somewhat familiar looking insectoid / humanoid / whatever Zaldwin is, flies right up to you.
"Well, man, I don't sign autographs. Unless you want to be a stain on the floor, you get out of my way."
"Oh my god, this whole fucking song and dance. Come on, Oliver. I'm not here for a fucking autograph."
"All right, well, I got a fight to get to. What do you want to go?"
"No, you're coming with me, bud."
"That's funny.
Because you want to spend your whole life fucking shitting around here, kicking guys with hokey names, like guys with names with rhyming schemes? Or do you want to really die?
Look, I don't know who you are, man, but this is what I do. So, yeah, I'm going to go fight. Also, my boss wouldn't appreciate me leaving.
I do not appreciate that at all.
Carl's here?
The fuck is
Carl? I'm the boss.
It's Lucky.
Who the fuck is this guy? Where's Carl?
Dude,
hey.
Lucky's not your boss. At least.
Yeah. Absolutely am. He pulls out a tablet and like pulls out like an actual contract.
Yeah, man, you were like, born yesterday. My contract
right here.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I grab the tablet from Lucky and throw it.
Oh my fucking, I'll be right back. Oh my God.
Okay, now that he's gone, come on, we gotta go. This isn't how this happens.
Man, I don't know what drugs you're shooting, but I'm not going anywhere with you. I gotta fight in like 5 minutes.
And he starts
I'm gonna do something really shitty to Oliver.
Okay. Thanks for announcing it.
I'm going to grab him. I cast Minor Illusion, and I make the voice of the closer.
Yeah.
I think the voice is going to say, oh, I'm trying to think of something that the closer had said. It's going to say, what are you, too chicken? Maybe I should rip your legs off next time. Now, you know this guy, and I know this guy, and we both want this piece of shit dead. Right.
The voice would sound familiar, Oliver, and it would absolutely invoke some feelings you do not understand in this moment, but it wouldn't necessarily trigger any memories.
I feel like I'm like wearing like those like boxer's robes over my shoulders, covering my arms. I think under my like robe, like you could hear the gears and like pistons kind of start to shoot off on my arms. And he just kind of grits his teeth and tightens his jaw. He's like, look, man, I'm going to that door to go to my fight. If you follow me, I'll make you look like every other person that gets in my way.
I'm going to yell over to Tyler.
Hey, Tyler, can I die in here? Is that?
Yep.
Okay, so I don't want him to kill me yet.
As far as I am, like yelling, like at a party, you know what I mean? Like when it's too late. Yeah, like, as far as I understand, the rules are still kind of the same. Like, we don't want to die.
Fuck, okay. I say we let this one play through and figure out next round what's going on with this
fucking brickhead.
Yeah, that was an excellent move, though. Like, save it and just... You could do it again, maybe, at a more opportune... Yeah, I feel like if you just targeted it at a better time, that'd work.
Yeah, I think that'll be good.
All right, get to your fight, shithead.
And yeah, so I mean, you go down to this little tiny kind of like dressing room that you have to like walk in sideways to fit your arms into. You hear the music starts to really pump up to the point where the buzz of everyone talking is like harder to hear. And then they turn Will Baxter way up and like all these noises are competing with each other. And you face down Johnny Silverface. He comes into the ring. He looks you up and down.
Oh, heavy arms, Oliver. Just a little baby boy with big arms. Lost little gutter rat. Never even had a real fight, have you?
Less talk and more me kicking your ass.
And he throws off this robe and cracks his knuckles and comes at you. And Oliver, you feel happy, you feel joy, but not just the kind of joy that you get in a fight. There is some sort of relief that you feel as you win this fight. And it's close. It's not, you know what I mean? You don't stomp him, but you do best him. And you take him down and you put a giant dent in the silver mask that's covering his face. And he's out like a light. And the crowd just goes wild. Everyone is screaming. I mean, this is the most popular fighter you've ever defeated.
Yeah.
Everything is just... Everyone's just going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I flex and roar and steam shoots out of my arms, and I'm just yelling,
"Everybody on in the universe is gonna know! Heavy Arms Oliver!"
And everyone just loses it at that. And Zaldwin and Tyler, you are kind of watching this play out over the next, you know, while Tyler is able to kind of speed up and give you the highlights. Zaldwin, I think you know that he didn't beat Silverface.
Yeah.
That is a piece of information that you have. And you're viewing this more like VR IMAX type thing than you are like living it at this point.
Yeah.
But there's just this montage of Oliver winning bigger and bigger fights in nicer arenas to just bigger and bigger crowds. And like the bags under Oliver's eyes start to fade and his complexion cleans up. And I mean, he's growing into a pretty handsome young man. Lucky also seems to be getting clean and just looks better. He's dressed better. They're on, you know, new worlds. Eventually, Oliver's arms also are either fixed or changed or upgraded or replaced. And they're these like shinier, nicer, more aesthetically pleasing cybernetic arms, and he takes it all the way. He's winning these fights in these massive arenas, and Tyler holds out his little device to you, Zaldwin, and says, "Well, this is usually the part where it resets. Do you wanna take this?"
Yeah.
And after a period of time when Oliver has played out this fantasy and you guys have watched, we're back. Oliver, you're in that little back alley gym training for this fight. Same conversation with Lucky. And you are on your way into the fight. Zaldwin, you guys are meeting in this exact moment again.
Hey, Oliver.
Yeah, what do you want?
I want to take you home.
Home? As close to home gets.
Listen, I know that this all seems wonderful and glamorous to you right now. The prospect of flourishing, of living the way you want to live and dying the way you die.
What are we talking about? Look, Lucky believes in me now, all right? I got a chance. I'm going to prove to everyone. I'm going to prove to everyone that I'm more than just some gutter rat with broken arms.
Oliver, you don't need to prove any of that to anyone.
Well, you know.
I know you're more than some gutter rat. I know that you're one of the best friends I ever had.
I know you're friends.
You have so many friends, Oliver. You got a whole ship full of friends.
Nah.
Me.
Lucky's got my back. He's not making me throw a fight. I'm gonna go fight Silverface. I'm gonna win.
When you were dying on the floor of the Hawk, where was Lucky, huh? Was he nursing you back to health after you took so much weight you couldn't fucking stand? Was he fucking washing you?
No. He changed. He's changed. He's...
We all change, Oliver. And that's what I believe in you. Come on. Time to go home.
Oliver kind of like sits with his head down for a second. And then he looks up to Zaldwin. His eyes kind of, I guess, kind of clear. And he just says,
"I could have been the best. I could have been the best there ever was."
Zaldwin is going to wrap his arms around Oliver. "You are the best that ever."
Tyler starts crying again.
Fuck. Let's go home.
Oh, man. Oliver, I'm so sorry, but you can't go home yet.
Figures.
Man. Zaldwin, tell him.
We got sucked up into great, shitty machination, and we gotta go get Grundle and Mr. Goy.
Yeah, tell him the other part, though, because that's not gonna be good. He's gotta go do that.
I get it.
You gotta...
Yeah.
You gotta walk away, but you gotta throw. Hey, I mean, good news is you do beat his ass. You beat his ass pretty damn good. And then you also kill the shit out of a pope. I mean, how many people can say that, Oliver?
Look, don't watch.
All right.
Don't watch me do this.
And you go down to your room. The music pumps up again. Things start to get crazy. You enter the ring. Silverface is trying to pump up the crowd again, and he gets in your face.
Oh, just a little baby boy with big arms. Never had a real fight, have you?
Let's get this over with. This ain't gonna be pretty for either of us.
Just let me take it in a little bit.
And he takes a deep breath and he faces you. And how does this go down, Oliver?
Yeah, we meet and we clash just like before. And around the fifth round, a little piston shoots up and a vial stings me in the neck. A lot like Wake. As the fight goes, I get a little bit slower, get a little bit more sluggish. I start missing swings. Silverface takes advantage, takes me to the ground. Signature move of his. And once I'm down, it's only a matter of time before Silverface ground and pounds Oliver Heavy Arms into unconsciousness.
Zaldwin and Tyler follow them out. Lucky has Oliver brought back to his little back alley laboratory workshop thing. And you see some scary looking, seedy looking people gathering out there. And you are able to go in, open the same door. The little device you have has turned green, and you pull Oliver into the cabin. And Oliver, Thorim gives you a couple potions and gets you back up on your feet.
All right. Well, that was a little quicker. That was better. Better. You guys are getting better at this.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Why the long faces? This is good.
Virtual therapy sucks ass. Move on to the next one.
All right. I like that. I agree with that. Both of those things. Who's next? Who are we doing? Come on. Let's go. Let's go. What are we doing? What are we going to do?
All right.
Also, sorry, real quick. Oliver, right?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Rose.
So who are we doing?
All right, we got what, Guy and Grundle left, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Grundle will be super easy. Maybe we should do him next.
I don't know. Is there only one of these devices, Tyler?
I mean, he only gave me one. Looks at Thorim. Yep.
Only one, so we can't go Dutch on this one.
Well, my experience has been the more that go in, the quicker it goes anyways, so... I mean, Tyler took fucking a long time.
Tyler, you were in?
No, to get you out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Tyler got you out?
Yeah, Tyler got me out.
Damn.
Your friend Thorim was able to get me a message. Told me that you guys were in trouble.
Well, hear that, Thorim? You got friends.
I have lots of friends. I have more friends than you.
Okay, all right.
He's probably right about that, actually.
Probably. All right. Let's go check out Grundle's past. I mean, he's never really talked about his past.
I feel like it can't be that complicated. Well, maybe it can. Grundle doesn't seem like a complex being, right?
I mean, I don't know. He's got... He unlocks some weird shit every once in a while. All right, let's go get Grundle.
All right.
You step through the little portal and are immediately hit with this like scorching heat. There's a bright sun bearing down on you. There is desert and rock formations in every direction. Looking around, you don't really see anything for a while. And then after a little bit, you see what looks to be like some sort of vehicle in the distance coming towards you with like a dust trail behind it.
Shit, is this Prosperity Bay? God, shit's hot, dusty.
Yeah, it is. The hell are we?
I don't know. Let's see what the fuck that is up there.
All right.
And the car just keeps getting closer and closer to you. And when it gets close enough, you start to hear this like shouting. And you realize that the car has a face and a mouth. And it is shouting at you.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Zaldwin flies upwards.
I'm gonna punch this car. What the fuck?
Yeah, punch the car. I've never seen a fucking car before.
Like Oliver,
punch it like a cow.
And as it gets close enough that you can hear it actually yelling, it's like, Hey, you guys gotta scoot. It is daylight. Ground's about to start shaking. And by the time you feel the ground shaking, it's gonna be too late. We gotta scoot. We gotta get out of here. We gotta go. We wanna go? You wanna go with me?
Why do you have a face? What is going on?
Why do you have a face? I do not understand that question. We gotta go. We can talk about this later.
Where are we running from?
Oh, when the ground starts shaking, that's when the worms start eating. And by the time you hear the ground shaking, you're already lunch. You hear me?
Oh my god.
What? You dig? Let's go. Oh, hop in. Right. Hop in.
All right. All
hop
right.
In.
Okay. Fuck it.
All hop
right.
In.
Oliver jumps in.
Zeldwin folds his wings up and like missile dives into the car.
Hey, well, that's cool. You can probably fly behind if you want. You do whatever you want. Let's go.
Is Tyler here?
I take it.
Yeah, Tyler jumps in the car also.
Yeah. I buckle Tyler in.
Why did I think this would be easy? Of course it's going to be ridiculous car faces and shit. This is Grundle.
What's wrong with my... Well, your face is ridiculous. Have you seen your arms? Where's your center of gravity even at? How do you stay upright?
There's a scientific explanation for this that I do not know.
And as you jump in the car, Zaldwin, you realize you're sitting next to a small... Sorry, this is crazy. You're sitting next to a small, kind of like toddler-sized creature.
There's a little toddler-sized creature in the car?
And... It looks exactly like the Ricky Rat cartoons that they've showed you.
What is happening?
Oh my god.
It's like, oh hi! Oh, how are you guys doing?
Oh, that's creepy. Ricky?
We're going to get out of here, huh?
Ricky. Is Ricky Rat?
Oh, how'd you know my name? What's yours?
Why are you real?
Got me as a disadvantage.
Oh man, I can't do this.
I have you as a bobblehead.
A bobblehead?
I stole you from the man.
And you drive away for a while. I mean, it is, as the sun starts to go down, it starts to cool, and then it starts to get colder, and, like, kind of freaking out how cold it's getting. And then you get to this outcropping of trees, and the car pulls in. And it's like, all right, everyone, go ahead and get out. We are safe. We made it out of there just fine. I'm proud of you guys. You guys did real good. Ricky, you did great. He's like, oh. Thanks, Lecter. And he hops out and he's like, all right. Well, my name's Lecter McLaren. How are you? How did you find yourselves to be in these parts?
Oh my god.
Listen, we're looking for a man named Grundle. He's about 8 feet tall, big green motherfucker.
All right. I know plenty of big green motherfuckers around here.
Wow, you tough too. Wow, you're real cool. You know what? Take back everything I said about you. You cuss now? That's real cool.
I guess I really should canonically not have done that.
Hey, Ricky, you cuss?
What?
Fuck yeah!
Hell yeah, brother. All right, we're friends now. I dig this. This is familiarity. This I can trust.
I feel like that was more
what?
The puppet master than me, but okay.
Okay,
who's the puppet master?
Oh, I'm sorry, sometimes I just see through the fourth wall and the universe unlocks a little bit.
My god. Wait, hold on. Wait, all right. Okay.
Did the heat get to you?
Are we on an acid trip or like, do you guys have, like, what are you guys?
I'm Ricky, and this here's Lecter McLaren.
Yeah, like, but why?
Well, who are you?
I'm Heavy Arms Oliver.
Why?
He got you there, Ollie. Yeah.
What purpose do you? Where? What planet? Do you know what planet we're on?
What do you mean we're on the planet?
What? Are there other? Do you know about the other planets?
They don't know.
There's other planets?
Okay. I don't know. All right.
Yeah, you want to take us to the big green guys? I guess.
Yeah, we're the
big green. Yeah, I mean we can get you where you need to go.
Okay.
That's no problem. There's not a whole lot to do, so we don't mind little deliveries and taxiing of people that we deem to be friends. You are friends, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kids don't have jobs. You're also bums on top of being extremely weird.
Well, my job's to go fast, you see, and I do that job very well.
Oh,
what's your job?
Yeah, I hit things really hard.
Your job sounds about as complicated as mine, and I respect that.
Fair, I do, yeah. I'm starting to get it now.
I do emotional labor.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Maybe you and I can have a little talk later. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm just not fast enough. You know what I mean?
Well, None of us are.
He somehow, if a car could give a 1,000-yard stare, he just did it. he's like nods up and down.
All right.
You just dropped some wisdom on me right there.
Yeah, it's a thinker. You gotta sit on that one. All right, where's our big green friend?
I can't sit. My legs don't really bend, and I don't have legs. Well, we gotta sleep.
You don't have legs.
Let's unpack that later.
I have a trunk. You can unpack my. Well, that got weird. Oh. Let's go ahead and take. Let's go ahead and take ourselves a little snooze right here. All right. And we'll do it in the morning. It ain't much use traveling at night. How's that sound?
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to decompress a little bit.
Tyler, if you were to like turn around and look at him, his jaw is as open as it can be.
Hey,
he's just staring at you guys.
Tyler, are you with me? Don't fucking sell out on us, okay?
What the fuck is going on right now?
I am under the suspicion that Grundle's childhood was really fucked up because I have no idea what planet we're on.
Yeah, once you kind of just let it wash over you and accept it, it's not so bad anymore.
It's just, I've only known you for like a few weeks, yeah. And the number of times I've had to do that is insane.
Right. Well, you get used to it.
Yeah, you kind of gotta just like become insane just a little bit. You'll get there. I mean, you jumped into the fucking machine to save us. That's a little insane. So
that was real dumb is what that was.
It was real badass.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate it and everything, yeah. But
I mean, Oliver does a whole bunch of dumb and badass things.
I'm part of the crew, right? I mean,
yeah.
Fucking. If you weren't before, you definitely are now.
Yeah.
He blushes and he's like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Thank you. Okay, so you guys sleep?
Yeah.
Do we? Do we sleep in this space?
I mean, I sleep.
Yeah, sure.
In McLaren.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not while I'm resting. I don't mind giving you a ride, but I would prefer not to be touching your body.
No. No, okay, yeah.
Okay. And you guys go to sleep, and you are woken up to the sound of Ricky, and he says, oh, all right, you pieces of shit. Rise and shine. Huh? And you open your eyes, and he is holding Tyler with his one arm around him and a weird-looking shiv next right up to his throat. And McLaren turns on these headlights, and it just washes over you. And he's like, all right, well, let's get everything you got, okay?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, one step closer, I'll slit his fucking throat, and that's on you, okay? Hurry it up! Hurry it up! Hurry up! Come on! Everything you got, let's go! I want those big arms.
What?
I want those daggers. I want that little. I want them all! Let's go! Hey, come on!
My arms are attached to my body. They're my arms.
It takes two people to take the arms off, so you gotta at least help us out. Because I can't do it by myself. Right, Oliver?
Think I'm joking, you piece of shit?
No, I don't think
you better start coughing up something worse than money, or I'm gonna slit this little kid's throat! I'm gonna bleed him out right here in front of you, huh?
I got shoes and these pants.
Yeah. He's pretty and much naked all the time.
In this moment, Ricky Rat suddenly splatters.
Oh!
I mean, blood everywhere.
Woo!
Tyler, what'd you do?
And from where he was, and what is now just a goop of whatever, blood and organic material is lifted a very large looking hammer, and you see Grundle. Grundle, you have just smashed the shit out of one of these annoying Ricky Rats. They're everywhere, always fucking shit up, always getting into the food stores. They're always doing all this obnoxious stuff. You were out here trying to wrangle up your car that escaped, and you found him with this Ricky Rat who you have just squished. And you see these travelers in front of you. They look familiar. You don't feel any rage or anger or desire to eat them or anything like that. And McLaren starts to like rev his engine, and you just grab the back of the bumper and like lift the rear wheels off of the ground. And he's like, oh man, I was gonna go fast. I was gonna get out of here.
Well, that was fun, but I finally caught you. Not fast enough.
Oliver, I don't even know what to say.
What the hell, man?
Grundle scoops up a bit of that Ricky Rat splatter and starts eating it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Holy shit.
Who are you guys?
Hi, Grundle. I'm Zaldwin. This is Oliver. We're your friends.
How's it going?
Good. I just killed another rat.
Yeah, noticed that. Did a good job.
I appreciate that. Good job killing rats.
Yeah, you did. You did real good.
Cool. What? So, is that like your job here? You just kill the rats?
Oh no, I catch the cars when they run, and I herd them, and I send them to do their job, to go fast, and I spank him.
Oh man.
Jesus. Oh man. Not the trunk.
Okay.
Not the trunk, man.
Have you been keeping stuff in there again?
Oh man, don't go through my trunk again.
I have to go through it again.
Oh man.
So what's like this is
I'm so
Zaller, come Zaller.
What do you want from me in this moment?
Come here.
Okay, I'm here.
Listen.
Yeah.
Fuck. How are we supposed to figure out what's different?
You said this was gonna be the easy one.
I know. I was so wrong.
You were wrong.
I don't. This is too fucked up. I don't know what's different because this is all fucked up.
It's all different.
Did he really herd car people?
That man just banked his car and threatened to search his trunk.
What? A tiny rat man threatened to kill Tyler.
Tyler, are you good?
No, I'm not.
Okay, neither
I
us.
Know why Jaden seems a little fucked up, honestly.
Hey, Jaden's fine. Jaden's fine, young.
All right.
Uh-huh. I'm really happy to see that you're here for some reason.
Yeah, it's because we're your pals. And so, funny thing, you don't know what video games are yet. But you do love them soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And...
So, like, you're just, like, a car herder here?
I mean, yeah. It's not a glorious job, but someone's gotta do it.
Yeah.
Do they got it, though?
Yeah. Yeah! How else would we catch the sandworms, you idiot?
Oh, who do you work with anyone? You got...
Oh, yeah, my family.
You have a family?
Yeah, he's talked about his family a few times.
Oh, I never listen.
Yeah, I can show you if you want.
Wait, hold on. No, I remember. Isn't he the fucking littlest one?
Don't say that out loud.
Oh, sorry.
Isn't your family mean to you?
Oh, yeah. That can be kind of mean.
Well, we don't want to be mean with you. To you.
Oh, that's nice. I appreciate that.
We want to be your pal.
Yeah.
How can you help me?
Well, see, you've done this before.
Yeah,
but...
every day I come out here and kill rats and have to catch a stupid car.
Oh man, you could say that again. He does this all the time.
All the time.
I feel like at some point, what? You leave here, you know that. Like, you become a famous space pirate. What kind of famous?
What's a pirate?
What space?
Space is up
in the sky.
He becomes an up pirate.
You know how you live on planet?
Whatever.
Well, there's other planets. There are other planets with other cool things to do on them other than fight sandworms with your sentient cars and squish rats.
Yeah, man, you like kill dragons and stuff if you leave here.
Yeah, dragons are like giant rats, but they have wings and they breathe fire.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So do you want to go do that?
Yeah.
Oh, All right.
All right. So
what did he do? I don't know how he...
I don't know.
Do you know how he left?
What's different?
He ran away from home. Is it like a child story? Where
I'm pretty sure he built the rocket, right?
Oh. Oh, he stole it?
Yeah, it's definitely still red.
Fuck. Hey, let's go meet your family, Grundle.
Yeah, let's just do what you would normally do, and we'll just kind of...
Oh, please don't do what you'd normally do. Let's do something more different.
Let's just do what we'd normally do.
Oh, man.
And then we'll just... Oh, my God.
His horn beeps.
I climb on top of him and put a harness in his mouth.
Put this in your mouth.
Oh, Mario. Go buy that.
Now, guys, get on back. We're going to head home.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You ride.
Tyler, get on.
I'm here. All right. And you ride Lecter McLaren back to Grundle's bunker. Grundle leads you down this bunker, which would strike you as odd. It's the only kind of like actual facilities that you have seen so far. And it's very obviously Terran command to you.
Of course it is.
There are skeletons and body. There's like a ton of skeleton bones, like humanoid skeleton bones stacked outside the front of this bunker. And as he takes you down, you see several, like at least a dozen other beings that look very similar to Grundle. But what you would notice is Grundle's like a solid foot taller and several feet wider than any of them.
Hi, little guys.
Hi, Grundle. Welcome back.
Yeah. I brought you some dead rat.
Here rat! I'm sick of rat. I want worm.
I open Lecter McLaren's trunk and pull out the dead rat.
Oh, man.
No more rat. I want worm.
We get worm tomorrow. Car tired.
Oh, man.
I think I see the problem.
Yeah.
And Grundle, your grandma comes around the corner. You guys would see this, bigger than all of the other ones, and seems to be a lot older. And it's like,
Grundle!
Yeah.
We're almost out of food, and you let the car get out, and you have to go get more food. No more rat.
Wait till tomorrow. God, why are you so impatient? Always nagging.
You're a disappointment.
Oh, no. Disappointment. She turns around,
stomps away.
I look at, Grundle looks at Oliver and Zeldwin and Tyler.
You help me get food. You earn your keep.
Sure, man.
Okay, yeah. As long as I don't have to spank your weird car, I'm fine.
I do that.
Okay, you can keep doing it.
Okay.
All right. Well, first, he has to do community time to be socialized with the other cars, or else he won't go fast.
Oh, man, I'm already the fastest there already is. I don't need to race no other cars. I already know how fast I am.
You have to.
I don't.
Support him.
Oh, man.
It's socializing.
Okay.
So, like, you're, like, the biggest, huh?
Oh, yeah. Way bigger and stronger.
Right, yeah. Biggest stuff.
Yep. Pretty good here. You know, I kill all the rats with one hit. Get the car, like, easy. It's never really much of a challenge.
Definitely not the runt or anything like that.
I don't know what would make you even say something like that.
Right, crazy. That's just crazy talk, I would say.
But what if you were? Could you imagine yourself in that space?
Yeah.
If you close your eyes.
What would you do? If you were the runt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you can think about it. Here, let's... What I like to do is I like to sit down. Well, first off, go put that car with the rest of the cars.
Yeah. All right. Don't worry.
And I lead it to a little pen where there's a whole bunch of other cars rolling around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm not going to describe the pen, but yes, accepted.
There's a blue one and a black one with a police light on top. And
yeah, there's like a truck.
Wee-oo.
Like
a shitty truck.
Oh, hi, look, Lecter's back.
Hey, how's it going?
Why do they all sound like me? This is upsetting. I don't like this. I feel like I'm a stereotype of a car.
Oh, God. You know, I was just thinking about that question you asked me a while ago, and I was thinking, if I was the smallest, I don't know.
You can share your thought with us. Like, we're all ears. We're your friends.
Well, I guess I'd take my hammer and beat the shit out of the biggest one and establish dominance.
You'd wanna kill your own grandma? I mean, she was the next biggest one.
I would never hurt her.
Well, I mean, we did say if he was the littlest.
Yeah.
Then he would.
The one that always gives me trouble is that Nifkin. The one who doesn't like to eat rats, even though they're easy.
Nifkin.
Yeah. Man, I feel like Nifkin.
It's my turn to say don't Google that. Don't Google that.
I feel like Nifkin might have bullied you. A little bit.
He wishes he could.
I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he was bigger. Really? Maybe. Just maybe. No? No good?
That was a good try. That was good. It's good stuff.
Got anything, Zell? I'm losing steam here.
I mean, the best thing, you're running out of gas.
My brain's about to short circuit.
Yeah, when the cars do that, I just feed them more rat.
Yeah, I think we're good on eating rat.
You don't like it either?
You know what, Grundle? It's good enough, right? You care for these people, you feed them rat, and what are you getting in return?
I don't know.
Scolding?
Right.
Why don't you go and squash Nifkin?
Okay.
Wow, that was easy.
I walk in the room.
Hey! You don't like eating rats anymore?
I'm sick of rat! I want work!
And I just start punching him in the face.
Ah!
Does that change anybody's mind?
Oh, it's picking on me, Grundle! I'm leaving!
You would. What a coward.
And he, like, tries to punch you back, but, like, you just very easily are able to, like, step aside.
You are nothing, Nifkin. You will always be nothing.
I'm leaving!
And he grabs, I don't know, just like a random object next to him, like a lamp, and storms out of the bunker.
That's my lamp! You can't take it!
He throws the lamp at the ground and then...
You fucker.
Wow, everybody cusses on this planet. You learn that language from the rats? You kiss your grandma with that mouth?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Fair enough. You spank your car. I rest
my case.
Is
this like a role reversal thing?
Breaking out cars. All right. He's probably ready.
Grundle, you see how well you handled yourself standing up for yourself?
Yeah.
Now, if you were tiny, you could do the same thing.
Just to pause really quick, Nifkin is massive. I just want to be clear. Like, we're talking about the difference of inches, and, like, he's, like, a foot bigger than these guys, but they're still massive. I just wanted to make sure I didn't give you an image of, like, a tiny little Grundle or anything.
Yeah.
Are you trying to guilt trip me?
No, what I'm saying is it's not the height of the Grundle, but
the size of the heart.
Yeah, the size of the heart.
In the Grundle.
And the muscle.
Well, yeah, there's the muscle, too.
And the muscle. Yeah, lots of muscles. And the sooner you realize that it's not all about tallness, but it is about compassion and standing up for what's right.
And breaking out of prison and killing dragons.
Breaking out of prison, killing dragons.
And machine gunning down hundreds of bad guys and good guys sometimes.
Probably not so much that last one, but, you know.
Grundle scratches his head. And walks up to Nifkin, who's, like, you know, leaving the cave, leaving the complex.
Hey, I think I learned my lesson, and I wanted you to have my hammer and the reins to the car, and you can lead the next sandworm hunt. The problem is
really?
Me, not you.
What the hell?
Seriously?
Seriously.
This means a lot to me.
It means a lot to me. More, even.
I... think maybe we should hug.
Yeah.
I hug him.
Right. Yeah. And you go through the hunt tomorrow. You, Zaltuin, and Oliver, you watch this strange ritual where they tie a bunch of tin cans to Lecter McLaren and spank him and make him drive across the desert, which causes these sandworms to leap from the desert floor and try to eat the car, at which point they are able to get close enough and these dozen grundles swarm this thing, take it down, and just have this massive corpse. I mean, it's huge, it's gargantuan. And they drag this thing back to their bunker, and you kind of watch this future play out. You watch as, kind of the same way that you watched Oliver, but you watch as they feast on this sandworm for days. Grundle just keeps getting larger and larger and gains more and more respect from like his clan. Eventually he leads them all out of this bunker and into this ship that he's been repurposing. They take to the skies and hunt beasts and pirate and just eat like royalty. Grundle becomes a feared, legendary, infamous pirate and monster hunter, and parents tell their children stories about the legendary Grundle, equal parts wise and ferocious, the slayer of dragons. And Grundle is very large, very green, very strong, and very happy. And then you find yourself in the desert again.
Son of a bitch. I really thought we got it that time, Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, we just did the opposite. What really happens is his family fucking sucks, and he runs away by himself.
Yeah, but how do we convince him of that? I mean, he is smarter than we give him credit for, but I don't know.
I think we just tell him to say fuck it and go leave on his repurposed ship by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do this, but...
What you did with me.
You're right. Let's go tell this man his family sucks.
Yeah, being happy.
Hey, you guys got a scoop. It's about to be daylight out here. Ground's about to start shaking. By the time you feel it's going to be too late.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, we get in the car. I fucking just dismember this Ricky Rat, and then I tell the car to take me to the Grundles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and that happens. And you present a squished Ricky Rat to Grundle and give him back his car.
You guys are nice. Good work.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, go ahead, Zal. Tell him what's up.
Your family sucks shit. This is a lie. We gotta go.
Yeah, man. You get on your own repurposed ship. You make your own way. And you find mediocrity in the Hawk with us later in life. That's your path. That's your lot in life. Get used to it.
Wow. You guys seem to know a lot. I mean, you found the car, brought me a rat.
Yeah. And we don't even care that you're tiny, because you're big to us.
Well, I mean, I am big to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't matter how small your family thinks of you.
I think I'm small.
Yeah.
I'm small, but they don't respect you, that type of small.
Yeah. What fuckers? Did they tell you this? Behind my back?
Sure.
Yeah?
That's it. I do everything around here.
Right? You gotta get out of here, man. Go meet some new friends.
Yeah, let me show you my ship.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Tyler looks down at his little device, or points to it, Zaldwin, and he's like,
You got the one part. You got him to leave, but like, he has to believe he's in a simulation.
Oh yeah, fuck.
Yeah. So
you're gonna have to like get in there with him. Like, what's important to him?
Hey, big guy, what's important to you?
I don't know.
Come on, you can tell us. We brought you Rat.
I like killing Ricky Rats.
Good to
have. I like catching the car.
Yeah, but isn't there more to life than catching Rat? In spanking car?
Who told you I spanked the car? How do you know these things about me?
The Ricky Rat told him. Well,
look, we're in a simulation, man.
Yeah.
What?
Wait, am I allowed to tell him that?
Do you know what a simulation is?
Not really.
Okay, so it's like a like a fake world around the real world.
Okay.
And you're stuck in one, and in the real world, we're all friends. We hang out.
That's
cool. Play video games, and we kill dragons, which are like big Ricky rats with wings, and they breathe fire.
Yeah, like this isn't the way it went down in your life, right?
Yeah.
You know this. It isn't.
I do?
Yeah.
Look inside.
Come on,
yourself.
Man. Think about it.
I guess if you say so, I do.
Why do you have the repurposed ship?
I don't know.
I think you're unhappy, Ronald. And you come with us out of the simulation, out of this fake imaginary world. We can have a hell of a time. But
show me.
All right. Let's go through the door.
All right.
Tyler's like, I think he's willing to come, but I don't think he gotta get in there, man.
Damn it,
get
Tyler.
In there. He's got 3 brain cells. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
Here, let me try. Can I try?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so.
Okay. Hey, Grundle.
Hi, Tyler.
I want you to sit down and close your eyes. And okay. I want you to imagine.
Seems like a waste of time.
Well, just try it. It's fun.
It's fun, all right.
So imagine.
Fun.
Yeah. Can I talk? I imagine there was a Grundle who was smaller and no one really respected him. And everyone was kind of mean to him and no one would listen to him. And he had to go to work every day and he had to listen to a really full of himself asshole televangelist, and every day was just the same, and he had to go do the same things every day, and he thought that he was going to go do something really cool and help the planet, help the world, but he was just making a whole lot of fancy coffee drinks and having his name mispronounced, which is weird because his name is just fucking Tyler and it seems really easy to get right.
Right. How do you mispronounce Grundle?
And then a big, crazy, just wild green guy just smashes into your life and he picks you up and he throws you over his shoulder and he runs through a portal and he just shows you the whole universe and he makes you feel like maybe you can do something important and that you don't have to just follow people around and make them coffee. Would you like something like that?
Yeah, and I'd like some coffee.
I can do coffee. Do you? I mean, it's a little weird to ask me for coffee right now. I feel like we just had a moment, but that's okay.
You don't have to come in here.
Okay. Well, I think I know what's important to you, Grundle. Something that you didn't have before. I think it's the crew. I think you like having a big crew and having a big family. And I don't think you really know what that feels like or how to say it or how to communicate it, but I think you really like the crew. Do you remember the crew?
I know you guys.
Think really hard, Grundle. You have a big crew.
Do you remember Nivitz or
Billy?
Tevi?
I remember a lot, but it doesn't make sense because I've always lived on this planet.
No.
You have? No. This is...
Whatever.
No, not whatever, Grundle. You have DLC in your brain.
Yeah, dude, you've been rolling around fucking up the universe for a minute.
I mean, I believe that.
The little device just turns green, just ding! that's what did it.
Fucking finally. Bro, you got some explaining to do once we get back to the ship. I need to know more. I really have to...
What's that to explain?
Oh, God. Okay, come on, let's... Tyler...
Yeah.
Will you be a gentleman? Please open
Absolutely.
The door.
And he opens the door, and you are back in Thorm's cabin. It's like,
oh, it took a little longer. You guys okay?
No. Nothing will ever scrub my brain of whatever I just witnessed there.
Why didn't you just do that in the first place?
Oh my God, Grundle. And Tyler, that was beautiful.
Solid, man.
Oh, right. I was just making some stuff up. I was trying to help him think about like how much he liked it, you know, just
sure. Yeah.
I'm glad that I brought you along.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's cool. All
right.
Well, Mr. Guy.
Yeah, he's stuck in a simulation like you were. He's stuck in a video game like you were, and we have to go get his ass.
How?
I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there. That's usually the plan, right?
Did that work well for me?
No, but we got there. We figured it out eventually. I had to watch you spank a car multiple times. It was sad.
Oh, man.
What are you doing here? Get back to your own simulation.
Go on, get.
That was private. You weren't supposed to know about that.
Well, we know a lot more than ever wanted to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go get the last one and get the fuck out of my simulation, please.
Ah, Captain.
Yeah.
How did he get here?
Tyler.
Here is me. This is all me.
All right. Whatever.
And Tyler opens the last portal, and you step through into this super ritzy, big, beautiful mansion. There are intricate elven carvings everywhere. There is not a plain surface in sight. Everything has art and is beautiful. There's like a pretty high level of hustle and bustle with what appear to be like staff and servants running all over the place. And you're just standing in the middle of this room with people like running by you with like plates of food and laundry and things like that. And it's like, the children are almost back from their hunt. Don't just stand there. Get to work.
Okay.
Where do we work? We're new here. Hi, I'm new here.
Hi.
I'm Grundle.
This is Grundle. Where do we work? What do we do?
Oh, this is the Goy Mansion. We're on Dasaki.
Mansion?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you sure you're supposed to be here?
Yeah, we're definitely supposed to be here.
I gotta get back to work. And they kind of hustle away. After a moment, Mr. Guy arrives. These two big, beautiful double doors open up. Light spills into the mansion. And you see Mr. Guy, and what looks to be like a younger version of Mr. Guy looks very similar to him. And there are servants following them in with this elk. Beautiful, large elk with like an arrow like expertly placed in this thing's heart. And they are like carrying it by them. Mr. Goy, you have just entered your mansion. Your father's mansion. And you see these people standing there, kind of looking at you a little bit silly. And you feel like you recognize them. You're not sure, like, from where or how you know them. And you know that you have had a successful hunt. And you are preparing for a feast tonight.
Arr.
Well, hello. Would you mind taking Teriel's and I's prize to the kitchens? Thank you.
Sure.
No, man, you're not a fucking butler.
All right. Well, we'll be on our way.
Told me to work. I think I am.
No, you're... What?
Right?
If you're not the butler, then who are you?
My name's Grundle.
Okay.
Zaldwin. Nice to meet you.
Oliver.
Teriel, let's go wash up before the feast. It was a long hunt.
All right.
He nods. As you speak to him, he kind of like jerks and looks up at you, and he's just looking down at his hands, and he has like the elk's blood on all of his fingers, and he's just kind of staring at it.
Yes. Come, Terry. Let's go wash up.
Finger looking good.
Goy's gonna go kind of nudge Terry along.
Locking kid.
Yep. And this continues. The elk is taken to the kitchen. It is expertly prepared, and people start to arrive. Crew, you are part of this massive feast. There seems to be people everywhere, and you see Goy sitting at kind of the head table. It's a little bit elevated over the rest of them with who he has just introduced as Teriel. And there is a couple, an older elven male and a elven female. And they are speaking, and she seems to just be constantly, like, slapping Teriel's hand and shouting orders at servants and just being generally nasty to everyone around her, like a servant goes to pour her a little bit of wine and spills just a tiny bit. And she just like hits the goblet away and starts screaming at this guy. And Terriel's just kind of like trying to make himself small. And there is just this massive, wonderful feast with delicious food. I mean, simulated or not, you can still eat your heart's content at this point. As you enjoy this feast, I'm assuming you guys are keeping an eye on Goy, right? After a while, Terriel starts to yell, the woman starts to yell at Terriel, and in this order, Terriel storms out into a back room. After a little while, the woman goes into the back room, and then after a little while after that, Goy follows them.
Follow in.
Yeah, let's go. I'm sure that that's not even weirder.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird, but...
Nothing is as weird as what we just experienced in your head.
Yeah. What was weird about that? That was normal.
Yeah. Yeah, sure was, but...
Earth is a simulation anyway. So I'll just burst in and see what's going on.
Yeah. If we screw up, as long as Goy doesn't die and we don't die, we should be fine.
Mr. Goy, as you go down the hallway, kind of peeking in rooms as you go, you eventually come to Terriel's room. You hear some commotion in there. You open the door and you see your stepmother, Eleanor, is on the ground. There's blood everywhere. And Terriel is holding a hunting knife, standing over her, eyes wide. He's panting, and she is absolutely dead.
Oh, shit.
Terriel, what did you do? What happened?
He looks up at you and looks back down at her. He's like, I didn't mean to. It was an accident.
Yeah, fuck you. That was super on purpose looking.
You should have left him alone.
Give me the knife, Terriel. I'll take care of this.
He pulls it back away from me. He's like, what do you mean you'll take care of it? I don't need you to take care of everything for me.
But that's what brothers are for, Terriel.
It's not what brothers are for. And at that moment, your father enters the room and shock washes over him. And he looks and sees the knife in Terriel's hand and looks at you and looks back at Terriel. And he's like, what have you done? How am I going to clean up this mess? How am I going to explain this? Have any servants seen you?
You saw him.
No.
Oh, he really cares about it.
Goy's just kind of stuttering and looking at his father.
Goy, what do you... I told you to look out for your brother.
I came as fast as I could.
He looks at Toriel. He's like, put down that knife. And Toriel lets it clatter to the ground. And he looks back at you and looks back at Terriel. And he's like, this is unacceptable. I have tried so hard to make life comfortable and easy for you boys. All you have to do is be good, and you can't even do that. You just stab people when they make you sad. Doesn't make any sense. Terriel, you're done. That was your last chance. You're out of here. I have no idea how I'm going to explain this. Goy, go find me a servant or something that we can blame. Ugh, I really liked her. I really liked this one. Terriel, you're going away. You're going away for a long time. And Terriel just stands there. I mean, he's in like mild shock, right? And you all start to watch this new future unfold a little bit. As Terriel is sent away to a druidic circle to be away from the family and to not soil the family's name, a servant is blamed for the incident. Goy, you and your father actually become somewhat close. You hunt and travel together. Goy eventually gets his own laboratory and has brought monsters and creatures from all over Dasaki, which he uses for study and research and medicine. Eventually, he's approached by the OIT and given an entire space station, a huge staff. His practice extends the universe. His potions and tinctures are famous, expensive, sought after. Goy is given the space and the diplomatic immunity that he needs to practice wherever he pleases. And just the final thing you see is Goy's eyes just light up with pure joy as he docks this ship on this massive moon-sized whale-shaped alien that has been thawed from like an asteroid. And he's content. He's very happy. And he's very free. And then you find yourself back in the mansion. Goy is walking in. There's the elk. There's Teriel.
Oh, man.
And Goy, you see these people here again.
Ah, you guys bring my brothers and I's prize to the kitchens? It's for tonight's feast.
Yeah, thank you. Problem.
He takes the blame.
Yeah.
All right.
Teriel, let's go clean up.
Okay.
Zeldwin, like, helps grab this stag and gestures for the rest to, like, help us take it into the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right. Where was that room with the hunting knife?
Right off from the dining room, yeah.
So what we do is kill her first.
No.
I mean...
usually I'd be with you, but...
That is thinking outside the box here.
Kid's gonna kill her, but we have to...
We have to stall.
We gotta show Guy that...
He takes the blame.
He takes the blame for his shit of a brother.
Or, I mean, we also haven't stopped to think that Goy might have Goy might have killed her.
What?
We kill her and frame Goy.
I mean, that still doesn't prove to him that he's in a simulation.
What if I come out and tell him he's in a simulation?
I mean, that didn't quite work for you. It still took a while.
Goy killed his mom? Wait, is Goy a serial killer?
No.
You've been hanging around that creepy motherfucker and you haven't thought that?
I mean...
Who would think that? He's a great guy.
I mean, he's a great guy, but he loves his corpses.
Yeah. Well, he insists he only works on them after they've died, not from his hand. It's different. Yeah. Being a necrophiliac is different from being a serial killer.
I didn't use the word.
He's a necrophiliac.
No, we can't just keep saying that. We're gonna get flagged on iTunes if you keep saying that.
Yeah, we are.
Fucking hell.
The Homebrew, now with necrophilia.
No.
You did have a lot of fun playing a necromancer in the last simulation.
Yeah, no. If this is a fantasy world, I mean, I guess we just can't put that behind it. I mean, we can play it out so that... Fuck, I got the hiccups. God, simulation.
That was such a good-sounding hiccup. That was, like, very...
Oh, don't keep coming. I mean, we can't rule any fantasy out. You know, if he's really trying to stuff this murder down, I mean, there's no saying that he didn't do it. You know, we just gotta be prepared for it if it happens. So let's go with the framing one first and then see what kind of plays out.
All right.
Okay, so what's the plan again?
We're just going to try to stall the dad.
Okay.
Zaldwin can either try to talk the dad away or someone big can just lean against the door. Whatever.
What if I killed him?
I mean, technically... That would stop the dad, but then I don't know how. Goy needs to experience
the thing.
So I don't think we can kill the dad. I mean, you could kill him for fun right now, and then we just restart over. He does seem like a fucking sack of shit.
Do we want to do that? We could just have fun for one of these simulations and just kill everybody.
No, I mean, probably. I'm conflicted. I still don't understand any of this bullshit, why we're even here.
Yeah, what happened? Last thing I remember is saying that word.
Yeah. I think the clothes are meant to seal us in loops. And right now, Goy is the last one in a loop. Oh, I dropped my penny.
We could just leave Mr. Guy here in the loop.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. Kind of tired. Sleepy.
Fucking dick!
No.
No, this should be easy. I'm pretty sure. I mean, either way we look at it, I mean, either he killed the fucking woman or he took the fall. I think he took the fall. I'm going to trust he took the fall. If he killed the lady, I'm going to have trouble looking at this guy. Weird. It's fine if you're a murderer, but when you're not honest about being a murderer, oh no, that's weird. That changes things.
All right, I'm going to go stall the dad. You guys convince Goy. I've had to do a few of these, and I'm exhausted. I'd rather just, like, I don't know, flirt with somebody's dad to stall them out.
All right.
Okay, so...
Flirt if you want.
No, no, I've seen enough.
So it plays out fairly the same. And Zaldwin, the father, has stormed out and is heading down the hallway.
Hey, Miss Monsieur Goy.
Yes.
Oh man, it was real weird saying Monsieur. There's an issue out over by the garage. One of your favorite vehicles has been dented by one of the servants.
Oh god damn it. Again?
Yeah. We just need you to assess the damage so that we can send the actual insurance information out. And it's going to be real timely.
All right. Well, someone has to entertain the guests. Did you see any of the family come this way? And he's like trying to look past you. And he calls out. He's like, Goy!
Sir.
Teriel!
Sir. Actually, I will go get them. You head to the garage. If you can't find out what vehicle it was, you come back into the back room over there, and I'll meet you there, and I'll take you over to the damage. But let me go get your son.
Very well. And he storms away. And Goy, you are in this room again. Tyriel is stuttering over this body of your stepmother. And we're kind of, that's where we are, where you kind of said, like, what did you do? We're right where we are.
Daryl, what did you do?
I didn't mean to.
Likely.
It was an accident.
We can't be here. We have to get rid of the body. Father can't know.
Hey, man, can we talk to you for a second?
Who are you?
We're your friends, all right?
I'm Grundle.
And right now... you're going through something you've gone through probably a lot of times in your head, right? Okay, like, I know we all wish our lives could have gone differently. You wish you could have let your brother take the blame, right? But we both
There's
know that's not who you are.
That we stabbed our stepmother. She was a very evil bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this isn't how it went.
Of course this is how it went. We're here right now.
Yeah.
Is that we're not.
What are you talking about?
We're here right now. Yeah, this isn't how it went down. I think deep down you know this isn't how it went down. I know the feeling, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That feeling of hope is nice. The feeling like you could thrive and life could be better if you just went down a different road. But that's not what happened. And your path is different. And you know it.
No, I just need to hide the body and clean Tyria up, and it'll all be fine. It's always going to be fine.
You know it's not, man. Come on. You know it's time not.
No. It'll be fine. Tyria said it was an accident. It was just an accident. It'll be fine.
Are you listening to yourself?
What am I supposed to do? Just not... I got to protect him.
Some people are beyond protecting, man. Or, I don't know, man. This is...
Just help me get rid of the body. I'll pay you well.
All right. How many credits?
Pippin, why don't you give me a charisma save on Mr. Goy there?
Okay. I'm gonna have a character sheet.
Right? Are we rolling dice? What game is this?
You want me to do a charisma check?
Yeah, I think however much you don't want it to, what Oliver is saying makes sense to you. You start to remember what actually happened. You start to remember your brother and just the reality of how this went down. And as you start to get your brother cleaned up, you send him away to, you know, wash himself off. And that is when the father makes it back to the room and he opens it to see you standing there. Teriel is no longer in the room. And he said, "What? What has happened? Goy, your brother again?"
"Yes, but she was, it was an accident. You saw how she hit him."
"Oh, it's an accident. You know it's not an accident, Goy. You know it's not an accident. First it's this. First it's animals, servants. Now my fucking wife. What are we going to do? We have to send him away."
"No, we can't."
"It's just going to happen again."
"Well, he needs help, but not just send him away help."
"No. Find one of the servants to blame this on. Your brother's leaving. For good this time. Did you not hear me? Go find one of the servants to take the blame for this."
I'm thinking. Wheels are turning, but it's like, I have to change it.
"You don't have to change it. You have to do..."
"Yeah.
You have to do what happened."
It was me, Father. I did it. I was protecting Teriel. You saw the way..."
"What?"
"You saw the way she beats us."
He looks down at her. "How could you?"
"She was an evil bitch, Father."
"I knew it. I knew it was in you too. You creepy, disgusting little thing. I was blind to it this whole time. I thought it was just your brother. The whole stock. Fine. You know what? Fine. I have no sons." And he storms away from you. And Tyler kind of somberly points out that the device is now green.
"Damn, dude."
"Well, boys, it was an interesting thought to entertain."
"Yeah. Your truth is fucked up, man."
"Yes, yes, it is. I mean, how many people can say they have a brother that's a budding murderer?"
"Whatever happened to him?"
"I don't rightly know. After this, I get sent off to a druid circle. Then the elves form the ancient alliance with the gnomes and the dwarves. And I get sent away from there. Half elf, you know. And you guys know the rest of the story."
Shit.
"Sorry.
So I have no idea what happened to Teriel. Maybe we'll meet him sometime. For all we know, he could have been on Hydria."
"Yeah, I mean, that sounds great."
"Family reunions."
Tyler opens up a portal, and you are back in Thorm's cabin. And he looks up, and he seems like he's kind of dozed off a little bit. He's like,
oh, hey, you did it. You did it. Good work."
"Oh, we're back.
Now you can fuck off, and we're even."
"Yeah, this was stressful. Hey, is that fuckwad still in here?"
"Oh, I don't think he's in here proper. But yeah, you will need to get by him on your way out."
"Right. How do we do that?"
"Kill the fuck out of him."
"Yeah, well, what did you do last time?"
"Killed myself."
"No, I mean, how did you get stuck?"
"We said a word."
Said the safe word?"
"Yeah.
Yes."
"Well, don't fucking do that."
"Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Learn that lesson.
And then, yeah, figure out what happened. Get out."
"All right.
I think we should murder him for good measure. Thanks for your help, Thorm."
"You're fucking welcome. See? Do you all just see? That's how you show gratitude when you have been helped."
"Oh, fuck off.
Thank you." And he bows.
"All right. Make sure you open that fucking cube when you get back into your own little world, bud."
"Nope."
What?
He left.
Nope.
"Why not?"
"All right.
It's a fucking riddle. I gave you like 95% of the solution. Just play the fucking game."
"All right.
We need to end our episode there and pick up next week. Thank you guys for playing through that. That was fun. That went well. That was a little bit of a whiplash going from like some of the heavy stuff to the Ricky Rat thing. I don't know why. I was really like, I was prepared for it and I was still cracking up. That was so funny.
I didn't get it partaking that. Like,
Oh my god.
I am so happy that you took one of my ideas and just fucking ran with it. Like it feels like a
I am both in game and in real life gonna have nightmares about that place for a while.
Dude, you had Dune, Tremors, Ricky Rat, cars, weird sexualized cars.
Hey, listen, Cars is already sexualized.
Yeah, but it was weird.
You were way ahead of us on that.
Hey, so let's save it for Liam and Tiny Chat, which is when we talk about the show. And that's something you can get access to through Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/thehomebrew. Get access to our show about the show, as well as all sorts of other little goodies. Go check it out. Again, that's patreon.com/thehomebrew. Everybody, thanks for sticking with us. Happy New Year. Episode 51 in the bank. And we'll see you next week for episode 52 of The Homebrew. Thanks for listening, listeners. Our story has come to a close for the week, and that means it's time to thank our listener sponsors, starting with Samuel Pierce, who shall forever be emblazoned upon the Homebrew Wall of Fame as our first Crusher Mania season pass holder. Thanks for believing in us, Sam.
As well as Ryan, a longtime listener.
Don't forget about Tara Hoffman, that one ender who thought rolling down the window in space was safe. Rest in peace, Tara.
Watch out for Adrian Josie, the silent assassin, who just broke out of the prison colony on Hadria.
And Trevor, Zombie Dad, Belmont, Hunter of the Unholy. You're a bastard, Trevor, but you're the bastard I choose to fight alongside.
Special thanks to the last Guppy, last of his kind, in search of a new home.
Find out about our Patreon offerings at patreon.com/thehomebrew, and we'll see you next week.